Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 82 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Samantha Morrill.
Even people on the street have not mentioned it too much. So, you know, it's going to be hard to put a prediction on it. It's hard to say whether it's going to pass or not.
Fleming County Judge Executive Larry Foxworthy says voters have been silent leading up to tomorrow's alcohol vote. Two people are dead following a plane crash in Hopkinsville, and the Kentucky GOP is in the market for a new executive director. In sports, the Cincinnati Reds are preparing to take on the reigning world champions, the Chicago Cubs, tomorrow. Bud Luke has the stock report, and expect mostly clear skies tonight, lows around 58 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news. First up this afternoon, a deadly shooting early today in Bardstown is under investigation. Mike Lindemann reports.
Friends of Cameron Williamson tell police two people drove up, opened their car, and shot the 17-year-old. He died a short time later outside a Food Mart. Chief Steve Urim tells WLKY Williamson's friends were looking for help.
They advised that the subject was shot behind a business located about a half a mile due east of the Five Star, and in their haste to get away from the shooting, they drove down to the Five Star.
Police are confident they'll find the people responsible. I'm Mike Lindemann.
A senior at Woodford County High School died in a car crash in Scott County Saturday. WKYT reports grief counselors will be available for students mourning the death of 18-year-old Jackson Paris. Paris would have graduated in 2 weeks. He was driving on Stone Road when his vehicle hit a plank fence around 12:20 a.m. The accident happened right outside Evans Orchard. Kevin Evans owns the property.
You know, you just hate to see something like that, especially when they're just getting started in life. You know, that'll remind you of, you know, how short life can be at times.
Superintendent Scott Hawkins says a rose will be placed on a chair to honor Paris during next week's graduation. WKYT is reporting the death of one person in a Jackson County car crash this morning. Coroner Melvin Lakes says police were chasing the driver who was heading through people's yards before the vehicle crashed on Highway 577 East. According to the Kentucky State Police, the victim was the only person in the car. That person's name has not been released. And two people are dead after a plane went down in a rural wooded area in Christian County. WKYT reports the small aircraft crashed a few miles northwest of Hopkinsville Friday. Dominic and Diane Giametta of Iowa were the only passengers. Vince Dixon lives in the area, and he was the first to find the crash site.
Well, out of everywhere it could happen, it happened here. And also we have a house and we have other facilities and buildings, and it just makes me think, you know, this close to them, it could have happened. It could have hit the house, or it could have hit another building or something, or it could have hit anybody, really.
Dixon says the woods were filled with Christian County Sheriff's deputies and first responders Friday. The National Transportation Safety Board is still investigating the cause of that crash. And Powell County search and rescue teams led the weekend hunt for a hiker who had fallen and broken his ankle. Emergency crews responded to the report around noon on Saturday near Kentucky 52 by Cathedral Church Camp. Crew member Lisa Johnson says the rescue took about 5 hours but was ultimately successful.
And then we had people that were camping there that were kind enough to come out and help the team, or it would have taken us a lot longer. The manager rode his gator part way so we could put him on the gator and get him down faster because he was in a lot of pain.
The hiker was airlifted to the University of Kentucky Medical Center, and his condition is currently unknown. Investigators with the Pike and Adams County Sheriff's Departments, as well as a Franklin County SWAT team, searched three properties in a small Pike County community this past weekend. The investigation Friday and Saturday was in connection to the 2016 killings of a southeastern Ohio family. Eight members of the Roden family were found shot to death in Pike County last April. It is unclear what, if anything, was found during the searches. Philip Reed of Peebles says he's not sure what they were looking for.
I know those people, and they're good, outstanding people. You know, I've known them all my life. I was just surprised, overwhelmed, you know. Hey, it can't be anything possibly happening there.
Reed says people in the area are still shaken about the event. Kentucky Republican Mitch McConnell is asking his fellow senators to be less partisan when they're asked to consider the person selected by President Trump to become the FBI's next director. McConnell says the matter is too important not to be handled in such a fashion.
Once the Senate receives a nomination to fill this position, we'll look forward to a full, fair, and timely confirmation process. This is a critical role that is particularly important as our country continues to face serious threats at home and abroad.
At the same time, McConnell chided Senate Democrats for what he calls their inconsistent stance on former FBI Director James Comey, who was recently fired by Trump. McConnell notes that they had demanded Comey be ousted last year for his handling of the Hillary Clinton email investigation, which is the exact same reason issued by U.S. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, who recommended to the president that Comey be let go. The Kentucky GOP is in the market for a new executive director, Will Clark reports.
The vacancy comes as current executive director Mike Biaggi announces his plans to step down next month and join Louisville-based lobbying firm The Rotunda Group, described as a business advocacy firm that deals with government relations. State GOP Chair Mack Brown, along with House Speaker Jeff Hoover, praising Biaggi's work, saying he played a major role in Republicans taking control of the Kentucky House for the first time in nearly a century. Biaggi worked for Senator Mitch McConnell prior to becoming executive director of the state GOP. I'm Will Clark.
Analysts predict health insurance premiums could go up by as much as $8,000 a year for people age 50 and older under the American Health Care Act as it now stands. Mary Sherman has more.
In addition to removing protections for people with pre-existing conditions, the bill would allow insurers to charge as much as five times the premium to older policyholders compared to their younger counterparts. The plan is raising concerns for people like Cecilia Munoz, who served as Director of Domestic Policy in the Obama administration.
The AARP is calling what the House passed an age tax. If Congress is going to be tinkering with health care coverage, they should be focusing on a way to make sure that costs go down rather than up. I mean, the results of what the House passed are really very clear. People lose coverage, fewer people will have coverage. The people who have coverage will be paying more for their premiums.
The Congressional Budget Office has not yet released its review of the current bill, but under the previous GOP health plan, it estimated 24 million Americans will lose coverage. The bill will go before the U.S. Senate in the coming days, where plans to make major changes to it have been widely reported. Mary Sherman reporting.
The tough-on-crime policy announced Friday by U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions runs counter to the recent emphasis in Appalachian states on treatment and less prison time for low-level drug offenders. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul opposes the directive. He says the drug epidemic should be treated as a health crisis, not a, quote, lock 'em up and throw away the key problem. Sessions says a spike in violence in some big cities and the nation's opioid epidemic show the need for a return to tougher tactics. Former U.S. Attorney Kerry Harvey, who was top federal prosecutor for the eastern half of Kentucky, says he doesn't foresee a sea change in how federal drug cases will be handled, but he is concerned that an approach emphasizing prevention and treatment is being abandoned by the Trump administration's Justice Department. And the data is in on the new needle exchange program in Ashland, and Boyd County health officials say it has so far been a success. MSPR's Jacob Lindberg reports.
The Ashland Daily Independent reports the exchange, which launched last July, has seen 825 total visits, according to data released last week. More than 20,000 needles have moved through the program in 10 months in an effort to fight the spread of HIV and hepatitis C among those fighting addiction. The program has led 14 clients to enroll in addiction recovery treatment. City Commissioner John Greer voted against the program last year, arguing it could enable drug use rather than deter it. Now he has changed his mind, saying the exchange is doing a good job of combating disease and addiction. Boyd Health Department Director Maria Hardy says the program will look to expand in 2017. It plans to offer HIV and hepatitis C testing by the end of the year and continue to seek grant funding. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
An in-depth analysis of conditions for police officers in Kentucky says the Commonwealth isn't a great place for them to work. MSPR's Chad Jenkins reports.
According to a study done by WalletHub, Kentucky is the fifth worst state to be a police officer in.
This was determined based on the comparison of 50 states and the District of Columbia across 20 key indicators of police friendliness. Kentucky ranked 47th in law enforcement per capita, 38th in median income for law enforcement officers, 40th in median income growth for law enforcement officers, 22nd in percentage of homicide cases solved, 51st in state and local police protection expenses per capita, 20th in property crime rate, and 44th in police deaths per 1,000 officers. For Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
One of a half dozen distilleries open or opening soon in Louisville is under construction in the Nulu neighborhood. It's called Rabbit Hole. Rabbit Hole is a $15 million investment by founder Kaveh Zamanian, who came to Louisville 9 years ago with his Louisville-born wife. Rabbit Hole owners say Kentuckians have a knowledge and palate for bourbon, but it's something that must be cultivated for the rest of the nation, and Zamanian's recipe is a point of pride.
I was determined that this is going to be a brand that's based on personal recipes, that's not just going out there buying aged bourbon and slapping a label on it.
The distillery is set to open in December with a contemporary restaurant opening a few months later. Right now, there's a lot of dirt and concrete platforms on the distillery site, along with four fermenting tanks. Voters in four Flemingsburg precincts will have the chance tomorrow to decide if their part of town will become moist. They'll be casting ballots on a measure that would approve liquor-by-the-drink sales at restaurants that seat at least 50 people and derive at least 70% of their revenue from food sales. Some local officials say that passing the measure will improve economic development opportunities for the city and help create more tax revenue. Fleming County Judge Executive Larry Foxworthy hopes they're right.
We're limited on the amount of establishments that could offer this, and we have a local winery now. I think it's been in business now for about 3 years, and they seem to be doing well. And it's pretty widely accepted with the people in the communities. I think, you know, their business has been growing at a pretty good pace. So, I mean, it could be a plus for us economically.
Back in 2013, Fleming County voters passed a measure allowing wine sales at the Echo Valley Vineyard by a count of 140 to 20. Morehead State University's campus continues to be a safe one for its students, faculty, staff, and visitors. No major incidents or fires were reported during the 2016-17 academic year, and Police Chief Merle Harrison says it was a good year for his department.
I thought it was. Every semester is a little different, every university is a little different, but I thought overall we had a pretty good semester, pretty safe, not a lot of, I'd call it, major issues that came up, and business as usual, if there's such a thing, and everything went pretty well, I thought.
MSU's campus has been ranked as one of the safest in the country. For a full view of the Morehead State Police Department's crime log, visit the university's website. And last week, National Bike to School Day was noted, and safety advocates want to make sure school kids wear helmets when they ride. Suzanne Duvall has details.
In the United States, 50 kids every hour are hurt from things like crashing on a bicycle, skateboard, or scooter. Pam Sutton, success behavior coach, is teaching a safety course at McFerrin Academy in Louisville where kindergartners can learn the rules of the road while riding tricycles.
Learning how to cross the street, looking both ways, recognizing left and right. Also, we're going to be talking about stranger danger.
Preventable injury is the number one killer of children. I'm Suzanne Duvall.
Kentucky officials say grants totaling $4.6 million have been awarded to Kentucky counties for recycling, household hazardous waste, and composting. The Energy and Environment Cabinet's Division of Waste Management says the grants are to expand recycling infrastructure, reduce solid waste going into landfills, ensure proper management of household hazardous waste, and help improve composting operations. The Kentucky Pride Fund provides the 86 grants. The fund is generated by a $1.75 fee for each ton of municipal solid waste disposed of in Kentucky landfills. The grants require a 25% local match in cash or in-kind contributions. According to a meteorologist from the National Weather Service office in Jackson, the type of long periods of wet weather that eastern Kentucky has dealt with for the past few weeks should be gone for a while. According to Chuck Greif, they've been caused by the kind of slower-moving weather patterns that happen when the region moves from a late winter and into the spring. Greif says while more rain is in the forecast for later this week, it will come from faster-moving systems that won't be hanging around for long.
We do see a series of those setting up to move across us as well, but they won't be like the ones we had these past couple weeks, where they will be a warmer type system as well. So we're looking more for lines of thunderstorms with those, and less of all-day rain type events. So you'll have a chance of rain, but it should be more on the order of 2 or 3 hours worth of main threat of rain, rather than all day and really dreary type rain.
Greif says for the bulk of the rest of this weather, it will be hot and dry. And finally, in news this afternoon, a Bullitt County woman became a mom on Mother's Day, but it happened in an unusual place. Christine High and her husband Jonathan were on their way to Clark Memorial Hospital early Sunday morning, but their new son wasn't waiting that long. Christine says they had been in the car 20 minutes when labor began in earnest, and she reached to discover that her baby was crowning.
Noticed, you know, back of the head and then felt the face. I was like, all right, time to do the body. Pushed the body out and caught him, and then he heard a very loud wail and said, what was that?
That wail came from Oliver Joseph High, born at 6:10 yesterday morning in the back seat on Interstate 65. And turning to take a look at the weather for tonight, expect clear skies, lows around 60 degrees. Tomorrow, mainly sunny skies, highs around 88. Tomorrow night, mostly clear skies, lows of 66 degrees. On Wednesday, sunny along with a few clouds, highs around 89 degrees. On Wednesday night, that is, a few clouds from time to time and lows around 69 degrees. For Thursday, sunshine and clouds mixed, highs near 88. It is currently 78 degrees in Ashland, 81 degrees in Flemingsburg, 81 degrees in Inez, 83 degrees in Lexington, it's 82 degrees in Winchester, and 82 degrees right here in Moorhead. The time is 4:46. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. On our feature segment, the future location of the Mason County Public Library has been a contentious topic of debate among Maysville citizens, and MSPR's Jacob Lindberg has details.
The current 22-year-old facility rests in downtown Maysville. Several citizens, including the Maysville Young Professionals Network, have expressed a desire to keep the library in the city's center, citing easy access and high visibility. However, says Director Valerie Zimpter, the situation is complex.
Some of the service life of the components of the building are coming to an end. So, you know, that's a heavy investment. There's infrastructure issues, like, for instance, we don't have nearly enough outlets. And it's something that simple. I don't think 22 years ago anybody foresaw the digital boom.
Zimpter says the building also has foundation issues related to suspicious underlying soils. She says this problem makes expansion of the current facility difficult and limits the structure to one floor, as well as makes it susceptible to earthquakes. But, she notes, building a new, bigger library near US 62 would cost about $4.5 million compared to the $2.8 million price tag for renovations.
You know, I'm torn. I would like to see the library have a higher profile. I'd like to see it located in a place where most people go, but lately, we've heard a lot from people who are adamant about the need to keep it where it is. And either way, we'll be able to offer improved services.
The Library Board of Trustees met last week to discuss the options. Zimpter says there really is no ideal solution.
From my perspective, I'd like a decision just so I have the best information going forward, but we don't want to make a decision, a hasty decision, that doesn't serve the best interests of the community. And that's a hard job. And everyone on the board takes it very, very seriously.
The board has been weighing that decision for over a year. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
The time is 4:49. You are tuned into Mountain Edition, and Braxton has sports. He's coming up in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, videotapes, and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Reds have today off as they travel to Chicago to start a series tomorrow night with the Cubs. They're headed to the Windy City after dropping the last three games of their four-game series to the Giants in San Francisco, which included an 8-3 defeat on Sunday. It didn't help manager Brian Price's Reds that starter and eventual loser Tim Adelman had to leave the game in the second inning after being unable to pitch because of a stiff neck.
You get a crick in your neck, especially on the side, where the same side that you're looking in. So for him, it'd be on the left side looking into the catcher. Is it more than anything prevents you from really having a good clear look at the target? And then when you do go to extend, that's probably when you feel it the worst. So, it does present quite a few challenges to try to pitch with it. So, hopefully we'll get it mended and in a lot better place the next time he has to pitch.
The Reds are now 19-18 on the season. The Moorhead State Baseball Eagles are using today to travel to Knoxville for tomorrow's non-conference game against Tennessee. With MSU spring semester now over, Coach Mike McGuire says his players can focus solely on baseball.
You don't have the stresses of going to class every day. You have more free time, so you could have more distraction, but I think if you're making the right decisions, preparing every day, I think it's a very enjoyable time of the year for guys.
The Baseball Eagles are 32-19 and 16-10 in the OVC after taking two of three weekend games at Allen Field for Murray State. They wrap up the conference season this coming weekend with three games at first place Tennessee Tech. After almost completely making over the Eagles roster for the spring, Moorhead State basketball coach Preston Spradlin says he'll be leaning on his four returnees. MSU signed eight players in the last several weeks, while two others agreed to join the Eagles as preferred walk-ons. According to Spradlin, he's told Moorhead's veterans that he needs their help in establishing the program's culture.
Top to bottom, just empowering them and letting them know how the program is going to be going forward. And when we do bring in these 8 to 10 new players this summer, that it's going to be vital that they set the tone and they hold each other accountable.
Most of the Basketball Eagles will be helped this summer, taking classes, working out, and playing pickup games. A couple of recruiting notes in college basketball. Trayvon Duval committed to Duke today. Duval is ranked as the best point guard in the 2017 class. The commitment gives Duke the second-ranked class in the country, behind Kentucky. And four-star center Jeremiah Tillman signed with Missouri today. Tillman is ranked as the sixth-best center in the 2017 class and joins the class's top-ranked player, Michael Porter Jr., in giving the Tigers the 15th-ranked class in the country. Former Kentucky basketball star Bam Adebayo continues to work out as he prepares for next month's NBA draft. A number of experts have predicted that the 6'10", 270-pound forward will be a late first-round or early second-round selection in the draft.
I don't pay attention to it. They can say what they want to say. But I got to go through my workouts just like everybody else. So, if I have a better workout than somebody else, and I go before somebody, can't say anything.
That's Adebayo on Kentucky.com. He says 9 NBA teams have asked him to go through personal workouts for them. He averaged 13 points and 8 rebounds a game last season for Kentucky. In the NBA, the Boston Celtics host the Washington Wizards tonight in Game 7 of the NBA's Eastern Conference semifinals at 8. Tonight's winner will move on to play Cleveland in the Eastern Conference finals starting on Wednesday. In the Western Conference, San Antonio Spurs head coach Greg Popovich announced today that star forward Kawhi Leonard will likely miss Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals against Golden State with an ankle injury after he landed on Warriors big man Zaza Pachulia's foot, and Popovich was not happy.
Two-step lead with your foot closeout is not appropriate. It's dangerous. It's unsportsmanlike. It's just not what anybody does to anybody else. And this particular individual has a history with that kind of action. And we're up 23 points in the third quarter against Golden State. And Kawhi goes down like that. This is crap.
Golden State and San Antonio play game two of their series tomorrow night. And finally, in sports, the Kentucky football program picked up a commitment today for the 2018 class. Four-star quarterback Jaren Williams recommitted to the Cats after decommitting last month. He is ranked as the 13th best dual threat quarterback in the country. Williams made the announcement on Kentucky Sports Radio, saying it was his relationship with the coaching staff that sold him on Kentucky.
They've always been upfront about everything, and I know I can trust them. They've always supported me, so even the fans, they've always been very supportive. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that just stands out to me. You know, I just really got that feeling that this was a spot for me, and, you know, we just decided to shut it all down and just come back home.
Williams picked Kentucky over Alabama, Florida, Florida State, LSU, Georgia, and Tennessee. Williams is the 9th member of the Cats 2018 class, which is now ranked as the 21st best class in the country by most recruiting services. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. The annual celebration of MSU Athletics golf outing is on Saturday, June 3rd at Eagle Trace Golf Course. 18 holes of golf, door prizes, continental breakfast, lunch, and refreshments. Sponsorships, reservation, and more information from the MSU Office of Alumni Relations and Development at 877-690-4483.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. The S&P 500 and NASDAQ Composite closed at record highs after a rise in tech stocks and oil prices, and the Dow Industrials finished with a gain of 85.33, putting the blue chip average at 20,981.94. The S&P 500, as mentioned, set an all-time closing record high with a gain of 11.42 at 2402.32, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 28.44, as mentioned, setting an all-time closing high of 6149.67. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 3-1 in favor of winning stocks over losers. West Texas Intermediate futures spiked 2.11% today to settle at $48.85 a barrel after the Russian and Saudi energy ministers both said the two countries agreed to extend a production cut until 2018. And, of course, oil stocks were among your leaders in both the Dow Jones and the S&P today. The Dow Jones also received a big boost from Johnson & Johnson, which rose 2.71% after J.P. Morgan upgraded its opinion on the stock. Over the weekend, a ransomware virus dubbed WannaCry hit 200,000 users in more than 100 countries, and the virus locked up computers in car factories, hospitals, and schools. And today, the Pure Funds ISE Cybersecurity Exchange Traded Fund rose more than 3%, putting it on track for its best day of the year. In economic news, the National Association of Home Builders survey showed sentiment among home builders came in at 70 for May. Anything above 50 is considered positive, and the index was at 58 in May of last year. And also, the Empire State Manufacturing Index dropped to -1 in May from a print of 5.2 last month. In the commodities markets, gold is up 0.25%, finishing at $1,230.50 an ounce. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Johnson & Johnson and Cisco. The worst performers were Verizon and Nike. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Corvo and NVIDIA, and the worst performers were Viacom and Foot Locker. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global trading today for the first time after its the complete spinoff of Valvoline. Ashland stock closed today at $62.91 in its first day of trading after the spinoff. Valvoline stock was up 27 cents, finishing at $22.92 a share. And, of course, Valvoline first started trading last fall under the symbol VVV. Also, CSX was down 80 cents at $51.34. AK Steel up 9 cents at $5.70. Marathon Petroleum up 71 cents at $53.02. And AEP was up 51 cents to finish at $68.57. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Eastern Kentucky CEP. The Carter Nursing and Rehabilitation Center in Grayson will host a job fair on Tuesday, May 16th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Grayson Career Center, 1141A State Highway 7. LPNs, registered nurses, and CNAs are encouraged to bring resumes for interviews. The Carter Nursing and Rehabilitation Center job fair at the Grayson Career Center, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Tuesday, May 16th. More information at 474-2412 or online at ekyjobs.com.
Taking another look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight, clear skies, lows around 60 degrees. Tomorrow, mainly sunny skies, highs around 88 degrees. For tomorrow night, mostly clear skies, lows around 89 degrees. And for Wednesday night, a few clouds from time to time, lows around 69 degrees. And Thursday, sunshine and clouds mixed, highs around 88. And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from MSPR staff Chuck Mraz, Ashley Davidson, Jacob Lindberg, Braxton Howard, and Chaz Jenkins. From the Kentucky News Network, Mike Lindemann, and our feature came from Mary Sherman. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For all of the MSPR News team, I'm Samantha Morrill for Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.